The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then they said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Words from our gospel. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. It's widely recognized that Jesus' mission, his teaching, and his suffering, and his death, and his resurrection achieved a remarkable and a stunning transformation of the understanding of where God is to be worshipped. For the Jewish people of Jesus' day, for the historical and contemporary community from which Jesus came, where God is correctly to be worshipped was absolutely definitive. God was properly to be worshipped on his holy hill, on Mount Zion, in his temple, in Jerusalem. This was, of course, the whole problem that was perceived with the Samaritans. They instead worshipped on Mount Gerizim. We're reminded of that in John's Gospel, chapter 4, where Jesus and the woman at the well discuss this fundamental difference in liturgical focus. The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." You remember that Jesus responds, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." This is the remarkable and stunning transformation of understanding of where God is to be worshipped. Not in a temple, whether in Jerusalem or elsewhere, but in ourselves, in our bodies, among ourselves, through our lives, in spirit and in truth. So the temple is no longer a place you go to pray or to sacrifice, but a life you live and the things you do with it. By defining himself as the temple, as Jesus explicitly does in today's gospel reading, he enabled his followers to see how through the destruction of that temple in his death, a new and distributed and worldwide place of worship was created in his resurrection. He defined his followers as his body in the world. And by breathing out the Holy Spirit, he enabled them, we should say, however nervously, he enables us to be Jesus in the world, collectively and individually, to be his body in space. Our reading this morning and the other references to this central idea in Jesus' mission remind us that we are individually and collectively all called to be living temples. And we pray for this regularly. We pray, "Build us into a living temple to your glory. This is pretty daunting stuff. Let's leave aside for now all the ways in which the church fails to do this and has failed to do this. Let's focus for today on the fact that however hard we try, and we all do try hard, it is pretty daunting stuff. But the fact is that you are Christ in the world. We hear it stated in our gospel reading. We pray it in our Eucharistic prayer. We will pray it in our Eucharistic prayer this morning. We hear St. Paul telling us so too. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And we hear it in the words of great Christian writers like Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks in compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. But if this is so, why do we need churches like this, whose dedication we celebrate today? Well, for one, we do need places to meet together. Jesus and his disciples needed places to meet, and they found them where they could. So this place is for us, if you like, an upper room. This is a lakeside, this is a mountaintop and a plain. Places where we can meet and be with Jesus like his friends and disciples met and spent time with him. In this place, we build community and we care for one another. In the words of our closing hymn, let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live, a place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive, built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. So we need also places to hear each other and to think together. We need places to rethink things sometimes and to relate our faith to the needs and the sadness of our world. Let us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to speak, to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall stand as witness and as symbol of God's grace. Here as one we proclaim the faith of Jesus. And meeting together, we celebrate humanity as diverse and as richly gifted, gifted by God for mutual service and the care of the world. No longer strangers and aliens, but saints on earth. Churches celebrate our world as the house of God, surrounded as they are by the marketplace. Jesus kicked the marketplace out of the temple of his own day in the process of making himself the temple in the world. We exist to transform the marketplace of our own day with compassion and a concern for justice, fairness, truth, and peace. Let us build a house where love is found, in water, wine, and wheat, a banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space, as we share in Christ the feast that frees us. We need places like this also to give us a place to tell our story and to remind ourselves of that story, of our historical story over 2,000 years, of our story as a Church of England, of our story as a parish, of our story of as a gathered community at this point in time, wherever we have come from, wherever we have lived, and so also of our personal stories. We need places like this to give continuity to the different forms our living temple takes, the pram service on Tuesday morning, the Wednesday morning communion, the 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. Sunday morning services, the Sunday evening service. We all use one space. We are all one living temple. And so we also need this place as somewhere that represents the living community we are to the world outside the church world walls, our sisters and our brothers living here and passing by. Which makes this place somewhere for people in that world to contact us, our neighbours, and also because of our history, people from far away too, but especially for people to contact us in baptisms and weddings and funerals at Christmas and at Easter. This is then a place that enables people attending those events to realise that they are too part of our living community here, our living temple, and some at least certainly do feel that they are. This is their church, the place they return to for key moments in their lives, the living community which they are part of, wherever they normally find themselves. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. And we need places like this simply to celebrate the high calling that humanity has. We need somewhere to come together and remind ourselves that we are Christ's body in the world and that we are a living temple to God's glory. We come here to be reminded of some of the splendid aspects of human nature. We are reminded of the ways in which the needs of people in our world are met and how we can help further the meeting of those needs. We are reminded of our ability to make beautiful things, artwork and sculptures, and of our ability to make beautiful music and to act beautifully, both practically and in the beautiful drama of the way in which we worship. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasured, taught and claimed as words within the word, built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. And so we come here giving thanks for the foundation and the dedication of this church and all that it means to us now, all that it means too for people who have been part of our life here but have moved away, all that it means for people who visit us because we can help them or because this is a place that encourages their faith, and all that it has meant for those who have worshipped here but are now at rest. We are one body of Christ, one living temple in time and space. We give thanks for this church and for each other. Amen.